Well, this morning we continue our look in the Old Testament book of Joshua. We're ready for chapter 22. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 6. And as has already been mentioned, the title of the sermon today is Be Very Careful. And I think as I read this particular scripture, you'll see where that sermon title actually came from. Joshua chapter 22, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 6. Then Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, "You have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days, up to this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brethren, as he promised them. Now therefore return and go to your tents and to the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. But take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. Now, I wonder this morning, when you think of transition points, what are some transition points that you experienced, transition times in life? You know, for some, it's graduation from high school and it's moving on to college or vocational pursuits, perhaps moving to a different community, pulling up roots and moving on to some other spot in the country or the world. Has it been perhaps getting married? That's certainly a transition point. Or perhaps getting a different job. Those are definitely transition times. Or for some, it is retirement. Or the death of a family member. Transition times. Now, in our text, a group of people were to discontinue the campaign that they had been engaged in and to come home, as it were. According to verse 4, "And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brethren, and he promised them, now therefore return and go to your tents and to the land of your possessions, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan." Now, there was two particular groups, I guess, that I thought about when I thought of folks that might be able to really enter into that experience, not just intellectually, but with their emotions as well. Perhaps troops who were stationed in Iraq or Afghanistan and got orders to return back to the United States. For some, it is a very difficult kind of transition, very difficult kind of thing. But my guess is that missionaries who were abroad for a number of years and came back home would also experience and connect with this phenomenon. In the verses that we're looking at this morning, Joshua was addressing a people that would be in transition. They were getting orders, as it were, to come back, to return from their places of conquest. Now, in his particular address here, he was commending the folks, though, for certain things. In verse 2, he said, "You have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you." And in verse 3, he said, "You have kept the charge of the Lord your God." Now, why didn't he stop then? Why didn't he stop there with those words of affirmation? Why did he bring before the people a number of exhortations? I guess I had to wonder, in part, did Joshua have a sense of human nature, perhaps? And of course, it was the Lord using Joshua to speak to his people, but might it be that he knew how easy it was to just sort of coast along when one gets into a comfortable kind of context or setting. Sometimes, you know, we're concerned about believers in other countries. We're concerned about the challenges that they face. We're concerned about the persecution that is going on. We're concerned about the obstacles and the needs that they have, the hardships they endure. But I find it interesting when I hear that some of those very people are concerned about believers like you and I that are living in the United States, and we hear of those people praying for us. Now, what's up with that? Well, the concern is that affluence doesn't lead to apathy. The concern among some of those praying for rich Christians in America, if you will, is that our relatively comfortable lifestyle doesn't result in a lack of passion for Jesus and the gospel and the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus did say, did he not, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Luke 12:15. And in our text, we have Joshua commending the people, but then he tells them to return to the land of their possessions, and he does say, take careful heed. So that's where that sermon title comes from, take careful heed, be very careful, if you will. So let's look more closely now. Let's highlight and take a more careful look at five things that are part of this exhortation to the people, that the things that they were to be careful about, and that really people of faith in general are called to. First of all, there was the call or the exhortation to love the Lord. To love the Lord. Take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God. What does it mean to be a person of faith? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a believer? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? At its very core, is it not to love the Lord? To love the Lord? On one occasion, there was a lawyer that asked Jesus a question, and he was actually asking it because he wanted to test Jesus, as it were. But nevertheless, the question was asked, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." And he said, "This is the first and the great commandment." And then he went on, though, to say as well, "The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two hang all the law and the prophets." Matthew 22:36-40. So, you and I, as human beings, have been created in the image of God, and in part that means that we therefore have the capacity to understand what love is and to love. We have the capacity to know the Lord, and as we begin to understand who he is, what he is like, we begin to understand what love, true love, is all about. So the Bible says this in 1 John chapter 4, verses 8-10. 1 John 4, 8-10. "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Verse 9. "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be as a propitiation for our sins." He loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So to love the Lord is really to become captivated by what took place on the cross. It is to respond to the love of God that was demonstrated to you and I through Christ Jesus. Now, a second thing that was part of Joshua's exhortation was to walk in his ways. To walk in his ways. And this also comes out of verse 5. But take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways. Now, we heard a little bit this morning in the children's message about things that might influence us, but have you ever thought about what is it really that influences you and I the most? And I suppose for many young people, there is the entire matter of peer pressure. Peer pressure. Consequently, wanting particular brands of this or that, or to get involved with things. Some things that are really very harmful, really very damaging. We hear a lot these days about vaping, for example. Where does that influence come from? Or to adopt a particular kind of lifestyle. For countless adults, we can't discount the influence of media. So that things, consequently, that are espoused on primetime television or on blockbuster movies or on YouTube stuff that goes viral, you know, all of these things, I'm afraid, have a far greater effect or impact or influence than you or I care to admit or acknowledge. Joshua didn't want to see people just going along with the crowd, and so he exhorted them to what? To walk in the ways of the Lord. The ways of the Lord at times, I don't know, would you say oftentimes, end up being countercultural. Jesus spoke of the fact that there are two ways, his way and the way of the world. And so he was, one day as he was talking to the people, saying in Matthew 7:13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Studies have shown, interestingly and sadly, that in the United States, many times there's a little difference between those that would say that they are Christians and those that would say that they are not Christians. Not a whole lot of difference oftentimes between ethics and morality and lifestyle and a number of these kind of things. But our calling is to walk in the ways of the Lord. Our calling is to live in light of the teachings of Jesus. Our calling is to be people of the Word of God. Now, a third part of Joshua's exhortation to those in transition was to keep his commandments. And so we're still there in verse 5. But take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments. Found it interesting, and in last Wednesday's USA Today, there was a full-page ad, and it had the big caption, Fisher Investments was touting its publication, 99 tips to make your retirement more comfortable. Couldn't they have come up with one more? tips. And you can get a list of tips or suggestions on practically anything these days. Just Google it and you'll see. It's right there. But someone once said, you know, that God didn't give his people the 10 suggestions, but he gave them the 10 commandments. And wow, that really is something to think about, is it not? We're reminded from Joshua's exhortation that we're expected to mind the Lord, living before him in loving obedience. And I say loving obedience because You know, willingly doing what he wants us to do really is an outgrowth of loving him, is it not? Or we might say it's evidence that we truly love him. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love," in John 15, verse 10. And the Bible says this, again, going to 1 John chapter 5 now, that verses 1 to 3, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. And by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." So, is it a delight, or is it seem like a burden when it comes to the scriptures calling us to something? I mean, I'm talking about something that is plainly and explicitly stated in the scriptures. And the answer to that may depend on the extent that we love the Lord. The MSG, the paraphrase in contemporary idiom, puts it like this: the proof that we love God comes from, or when we keep his commandments, and they are not at all troublesome. Going on, a fourth exhortation, as part of Joshua's exhortation to be very careful to hold, is to be very careful to hold fast to him. "Take careful heed to the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him." So here we are. Joshua didn't want these folks to just to transition into a comfortable lifestyle whereby they would forget their need of God, or would end up focusing on all the stuff they had instead of really their focus being on the Lord. Now, why do I say comfortable lifestyle? Because of what we're told here in verses 7 and 8. Notice, same chapter now here in Joshua, but verses 7 and 8, "Now to half the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given a possession in Bashan, but to the other half of it, Joshua gave a possession among their brethren on this side of the Jordan westward. And indeed, when Joshua sent them away to their tents, he blessed them and spoke to them, saying, 'Return with much riches to your tents, with very much livestock, with silver, with gold, with bronze, with iron, and with very much clothing. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren.'" So, these folks hadn't been out yonder and were just returning home, you know, just having the shirt on their backs. It wasn't that kind of thing at all. They came back with much riches, and the exhortation was to hold fast to the Lord. And might it be, it is it not, that that would be God's exhortation for you and I as well. Notice what we're told in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence to the end." Hold fast. Hold fast unto the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, we're told, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." And I had to think, right after 9/11, some of you remember that very well, there were lots of prayer gatherings. It seemed like folks were returning to church. Well, for a while. The question is not, do we turn to the Lord during a crisis? The question is, will we hold fast to the Lord in the good times as well as in the bad times? We're to hold fast to Him. Now, the fifth exhortation of this multifaceted exhortation to be very careful was to serve Him. But take careful heed, verse 5, to the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to keep His commandments, to hold fast to the Lord, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Sometimes folks have the crazy notion that they can do whatever they want. They don't need to answer to anyone, and that it's their life and that's it. But you know what? That is not a biblical perspective or worldview. And neither is it a Christian perspective. In Psalm 100, we have the same word used that we just highlighted from our text. And I'd like us to notice what is said here and to see the word serve in the first three verses of Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, why should we serve the Lord? Well, one reason is that we belong to Him. He is the Creator. He made us. He is the Shepherd. He is Lord. We are His people. How should we serve the Lord? Or in what way should we serve Him? The psalmist said, to serve the Lord with gladness. And so it's to be a joyful thing. It's to be a delight. And so you say, well, how can that be? Well, our serving the Lord should flow out of our love for the Lord. And when you and I are in a love relationship, it makes all the difference in the world, because then we want to be serving that individual. We want to be serving the one whom we love. We want to serve the Lord with gladness. Joshua exhorted folks to be very careful. He exhorted them to be very careful that they might love the Lord, walk in His ways, hold fast to Him, keep His commandments, and serve Him with all of their heart and soul. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we thank You that You continue to call us back into Your loving arms. We thank You for what You have done for us in Christ Jesus, for making possible redemption and salvation, for Your continued work in our lives. But we pray that You would continue to be at work in such a way that it would protect the relationship, that we would indeed love You, hold fast, serve You, be people that have a heart for You and for Your ways. And we pray too that You would continue to work among the lives of Your people, that and of all those that You have created, that many more would come to know You, would find the joy of salvation and the joy of living in loving obedience unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.